be of good courage and strengthen thine heart. That's what we're going to be talking about in just a minute. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you to be with us today. It is truly a beautiful world that you created, but Father, it is becoming more and more wicked all the time. There is evil everywhere we look. We are living in the days when people call white black and black white. They say wrong is right and right is wrong. Lord, we are upside down, inside out, and every which way but right. Give us courage to stand up for the things that matter. Help us to no longer be silent. Help us to raise our voices, Lord, and stand up for the things that you love, Lord, and help us to stand against the things that you hate. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we begin this morning, let me tell you this. If you got your Bible, open that thing up to Luke chapter 22. The title of our message for today, quite simply, is Christian Courage. Now, the verses we're going to be looking at in Luke chapter 22, this is a little conversation that Jesus had with the Apostle Peter immediately following the Last Supper. Jesus had just told all of the apostles about his coming crucifixion, about his passion and his glory, but they didn't really understand. They couldn't quite comprehend what Jesus was telling them. And in that conversation, we have Jesus giving the Apostle Peter a warning. He says, hey, you're going to deny me. And Peter, of course, says, hey, no way, Lord, not me. I'm not going to deny you. Now, in these verses we're going to look at here, we're going to start at verse 31. Here's what the Lord says to Peter, Simon Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, this is Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison or even death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny three times that you know me. Folks, I want to talk to you today about having strength and courage in times of crisis. How to live a life of Christian courage. I am convinced that one of the curses in Christianity today is cowardly Christians. Christians who won't stand up, who are not bold believers. See, sometimes we as Christians, we like to refer to ourselves as, well, we are the moral majority. Nah. Unfortunately, we have become the silent majority. And that's a problem, because one of the strategies of Satan is to keep good people silent during evil times. What we need today, friends, is a contagious epidemic of holy boldness, of Christian courage, and I'm afraid that many of us just lack that. Now listen, when I'm talking about holy boldness and Christian courage, I'm not talking about human courage. There's plenty of people that got that. I'm not talking about just having a courageous attitude. There's people who have that. Some of us do have natural boldness. Some of us also have natural fears. I heard a story about two guys that were out bear hunting. They're walking through the snow. They come across some bear tracks. The one hunter looks at his buddy and he goes, I tell you what, why don't you follow those bear tracks that way and see where the bear's going? I'm going to follow him this way and see where he's been. The man had a natural fear. But we're talking about Christian courage today. We're talking about holy boldness. And listen, when I say that, I'm not talking about arrogance. Because holy boldness, that's actually humble boldness. Here's the plan for today. I'm going to give you four principles about Christian courage. Three of them are going to challenge you. The last one is going to encourage you. Let's get to point number one. First of all, your adversary will sift you. You have an adversary. Look at verse 31 in Luke chapter 22. Jesus is speaking. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. You know what the name Satan means? It means adversary. It means accuser. It means the enemy. Whether you want an enemy or not, you know, well, I just try to get along with everybody. No, you got an enemy. You have an enemy. No matter how much you try to make sure everybody likes you, not everybody does. And you have an enemy, and his name is Satan. So we see that his personality is described in his name. He is the accuser. He's the adversary. And we also see his plan. He wants to sift you, man. He sifts the saints. You know what it means to sift something? Well, Jesus says, hey, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. So he's talking about wheat. Look, the Apostle Peter actually went by two names. His original name was Simon, right? Now, Simon, that actually means something that is unstable. But the name Peter means rock. So Jesus is telling him, the devil wants to sift you. Here's how you sift something back in those days when they would sift wheat. They'd have a wooden box, and it would have like a metal grating on it, like a wire mesh. And they'd shake this wheat. Well, the wheat falls through, and all the straw and the big rocks and the chunks of dirt, all the trash, that stays on top. Jesus says, Simon, you got an adversary that's going to sift you. He's going to reveal the trash that's in your life. Y'all better realize that you have an adversary who wants to do the same thing to you. See, don't get the idea that when you get saved, your battle with the devil is over. Because Peter was a saved man. He loved God. Now, Jesus talks about Peter's faith, but he also talks about his adversary. Now, you may be here today and say, well, look, man, I hear what you're saying, but I never have any trouble with the devil. He never gives me a hard time. Hey, man, if that's true, you better be reexamining your salvation. Because if you never run head on into the devil, that means y'all are walking in the same direction. So you need to get out of collusion with Satan and turn around and go the other direction and get into collision with him. Because that's what we're called to do. Now, Peter loved God. We know this. But yet Jesus tells him that Satan wants to sift. Why does Satan sift the saints? Why is your adversary trying to find faults in you? And there's plenty of them he can find in this preacher. But why does he do that? I'll tell you why Satan does that. Because he wants to take those faults, those shortcomings, and accuse us and condemn us before God. This is why Satan is referred to in the scripture as the accuser of the brethren. He sees the bad things that, well, first he tempts us to do bad things and tells us how much fun they're going to be. And then as soon as we do them, he switches gears and accuses us. But, ooh, did you see what Sander just did? That guy's supposed to be a preacher. Look what he just did, Lord. Satan is not the only one, though, who points our flaws out. You know who else points out our flaws and weaknesses? The Holy Spirit. But they do these things for entirely different reasons. Okay? The devil does these things to accuse us. The Holy Spirit does it to convict us. So the devil, he wants to bring us down. He wants to talk about these things that we're doing to discourage us and make us look bad. But the Holy Spirit brings up these things, reveals these things to us so that he might cleanse us. And you better know the difference. You better know the difference between satanic accusation and Holy Spirit conviction. So point number one, your adversary will sift you. And if he's not sifting you, that's not a guarantee you're saved that the devil's leaving you alone. It might be an indicator that you need to get saved. Now, the second principle is your abilities will sabotage you. Sabotage is an inside job. It doesn't refer to what some outside enemy does to you. It refers to some enemy within your own ranks. That's what sabotage is. Look at verse 33. Peter is bragging about his own abilities. Jesus says, you're gonna deny me. Peter says, Lord, ain't going to happen. I got you. I will go with you to prison or even death. Peter's bragging about his abilities. He was so sure of his own ability. And friends, that's exactly what sabotaged him. And let me tell you how this happened. Three quick points on how this happened, how he failed. Number one, the first problem Peter had was self-confidence. Not the lack of it, quite the opposite. He had too much of it. We got a whole bunch of psychiatrists today making about $200 an hour telling people their problem is, well, you just need more self-confidence. No, man, self-confidence is the thing we need to get rid of. Self-confidence is the way down. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool. We got to learn to deny ourselves and put our confidence in Christ. And let me tell you this. If you don't learn to deny yourself, there will come a day when you will deny Jesus. And you can put that down big, bold, plain. If you don't deny yourself, there's going to come a day you're going to deny Jesus. So Peter's first problem was self-confidence. He was bragging when he should have been trusting. But he had a second problem, which was prayerlessness. The man was sleeping when he should have been praying. We're still in Luke 22. Look at verses 46 through, or 44 through 46. Chapter 22, verses 44 through 6. Same chapter. Here's Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's down on his hands and knees. He's praying so hard that he's sweating drops of blood. And then he comes back to check on the disciples. It says he found them asleep. And Jesus said to Peter, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so you don't fall into temptation. Peter, who later in that very night would swear and curse and deny he even knew Jesus, this happened because he was sleeping when he should have been praying. Now, you know, we talked about the dangers of self-confidence, which is actually pride, by the way. That's all it is, pride. You know what the twin sister of pride is? Prayerlessness. You know why we don't pray? Here's why most of you have a horrible prayer life. Because you're confident you can make it without prayer. That's why we don't pray. Think about it. When we're in a crisis, what do we pray then, don't we? Hey, when we're in the middle of a crisis, we pray. Or sometimes when we really have a bad day and we mess up and we behave in a way that's not very Christian-like, we come to the end of the day and we say, oh, God, oh, I blew it today. Oh, God, forgive me. Dear Lord, forgive me. I really messed up. That's what we do at the end of the day. What did Jesus teach us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me ask you this question. What time of day should you be praying for your daily bread? At night when you're getting ready to go to bed? Nobody eats when they're asleep. We ought to be praying for our daily bread when we wake up in the morning, right? Jesus goes on. And forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. When should we be praying that prayer? At night when we're getting ready to go to bed? We need to be praying that in the morning so we stay out of trouble. Lord, don't lead me into temptation, right? I don't want to get in trouble. Jesus comes to Peter, he finds him asleep. He says, man, you better get up and pray, because if you don't, you're going to get into trouble. So Peter was bragging when he should have been trusting. He was sleeping when he should have been praying. And I'm telling you this, if you are a prayerless Christian, friend, you're a careless Christian. You're a prideful Christian. And when the devil comes around to sift you and you're going through a crisis, I'm afraid you may not make it. It is pride and it is arrogance that keeps a Christian from praying. Now, here's the third thing Simon Peter did wrong. This is why he denied the Lord. It was fleshly courage. We need holy boldness, not fleshly courage. Look at verse 33 again. Look what Peter says. I'm ready to go with you to prison or to death. What was Peter's strongest point? It was his self-confidence. It was his courage. Peter wasn't a wimp. This guy, he was a manly man, and he had confidence in his manliness and in his strength and his ability. If you study many of the great saints of the Bible, you're going to discover that when these men fell, many times they fell at their strongest point. The very thing that was their strength ended up being their undoing because they trusted in their own natural abilities more than they trusted in God in that area. Your abilities will sabotage you. So when you decide, hey, I got this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to live this Christian life and I'm going to do it on my own. You're setting yourself up for a fall. And you're sinning. You know what sin is? Let me give you this definition of sin, man, that I ran across. I really like it. I don't like sin, but I like this definition of sin. Sin is an unexpected opportunity compounded by an undetected weakness and an unprotected life. So we have something that's unexpected, something that's undetected, and something that's unprotected. Let me give you the definition one more time. Sin is an unexpected opportunity compounded by an undetected weakness and an unprotected life. So your adversary, he'll sift you. Your abilities will sabotage you. And number three, friend, your actions will surprise you. Verse 33, one more time, Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Ain't no way I'm ever going to deny you. It was obvious he didn't think he was going to deny the Lord, right? But he found himself doing something just a couple hours later that shocked him. He would have never thought in a million years he would have done that. 1 Corinthians 10:12 warns us about this. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and without cure. Who can understand it? And you know, friends, many times we have this idea, well, when it happens to me, when the devil comes around to attack me and my faith gets tested, I'm not going to fall. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to stand tall. If you're trusting in your own abilities, there will come a day when your actions will surprise you. You're going to find out you're not as strong as you think. Now, what about Simon Peter? Well, he failed, but he learned something important. And we need to remember this. Failure is not final. There's not one of us in here that can look back on our entire life who would not have to say, Lord, I've done things so bad in my life, I never dreamed I was even capable of doing such a thing. If somebody would have told me I would do something like this, I would have never believed them. Your actions will surprise you. There's not any of us who wouldn't say, Lord, I have not always been the courageous Christian you want me to be. And I told you I was going to give you four truths this morning. Three were going to challenge you. One was going to encourage you. I've given you the three challenges. Here comes the encouragement. Point number four, your advocate will secure you. Now, you got an adversary, but you also have an advocate. Look again at verses 31 and 2. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Now, there's the adversary, but check out the rest of the verse. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. There's your advocate. Jesus is the advocate. Isn't that good news? You know what the word advocate means? It's basically a fancy word that means lawyer. So the devil wants to sift us because he wants to find those impurities, that dirt and that trash, and then point the finger of accusation at us before the Almighty God. But when he does, we have an advocate. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. So here's what John is not saying, well, hey, look, don't worry about it if you sin because you're going to get forgiven anyway. No, he's saying, I'm writing these things to you so that you don't sin. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what Jesus is doing today for you? Hebrews 7:25 says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So, friend, your adversary will sift you, your abilities will sabotage you, your actions will surprise you, but your advocate will secure you. Jesus has prayed for us, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what he does. Now, somebody may say, well, look, if Jesus can keep us out of trouble and Satan's power is limited, then how come the Lord allows him to do stuff to us? Well, here's why it happened to Peter. The devil heard Peter bragging. Oh, I'm not going to deny you. So the devil went to Jesus. He said, I know a thing or two about this guy. You let me put him in my sieve and sift him for a while, and you're going to see his true colors. And Jesus said, okay, go ahead and do it. See, verse 31, look what Jesus says. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Satan had to ask permission. He couldn't do anything without the Lord's permission. And sometimes God will allow the devil to come against you to strengthen your faith and to reveal what's really in your heart. Now, since Jesus is our advocate, does that mean, well, it doesn't really make any difference how I live because I'm going to be free? No, of course not. Look what the Apostle Peter did when he realized his sin and the fact that he actually denied Jesus. Verse 62 of the same chapter, he went out and wept bitterly. The man had all kinds of remorse and repentance in his heart. I want you to listen to me real closely here. Don't you think for one second that since you can't lose your salvation, that you have nothing to lose if you deny Jesus. You deny Jesus and there is a lot to lose. You read about these early apostles. Look at these guys. Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These guys had just been preaching in the name of Jesus. The Jewish religious council took them in and beat the daylights out of these guys. They beat them with whips. And it says that they rejoiced. These men who got beaten, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. That is Christian courage. That's what I'm talking about. And let me tell you something else. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. The most miserable person in the world, that's not the person who's unsaved. The most miserable person in the world is the guy who is saved, but he's out of fellowship with Jesus. And the most joyful people are those who stand for the Lord. Simon Peter, he learned his lesson, and he was no longer boastful. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he warns us about our enemy. Look what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter learned to renounce his self-confidence and put all of his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, he became the fiery apostle. He became the preacher of Pentecost. The man preached one sermon that day and 3,000 people got saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, when the people saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and took note that they had been with Jesus. That's the difference. Their confidence was in the Lord Jesus. Now, remember what Jesus said? Hey, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. This is largely a farming community. We got a lot of roosters around here, don't we? Now, I'm no expert on roosters, but I know two things for sure about them. Number one, you can't make a rooster crow. And number two, you can't keep him from crowing. Isn't that right? You think Think about this for a minute. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, you think about how many roosters were in Jerusalem that day. There were roosters all over the place. And yet, not any of them crowed. God kept them all silent until that precise moment when Peter denied the Lord Jesus that third time. And at that precise moment, God caused only one rooster to crow. Only one. When that happened, Peter knew one thing, besides the fact that he messed up. He knew God's in control. And I'm going to tell you this, friend, as we prepare to close, God is still in control today. You know why Peter denied Jesus? Because he was terrified. They were taking Jesus to his death. It looked like he was no longer in control. Jesus had been mocked and cursed and beaten and spit on and whipped. He'd been falsely accused, and he was going to be taken away to the cross. It looked like everything was completely out of control. And in that one rooster crowed. God was in control then. He's in control now. Let me remind you of one more thing as we wrap it up. If you know Jesus, you're on the winning side. There's not a blade of grass that moves without your Heavenly Father's permission. And I'm going to tell you this. With his help, I'm going to stand strong. And I hope and pray for every one of you that you'll put your self-confidence away, that you'll put all your hope and confidence in him, so that you may display holy boldness in your life and live each day with Christian courage. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, give us Christian courage. Help us to realize this is not something we can do under our own power. Help us, Lord, to shun self-confidence and to put all our confidence in you. Father, we pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to be the Christian people you've called us to be. Lord, your church has been far too silent for far too long. There are things taking place in this country that the scriptures clearly tell us that you hate. And Father, we're not taking a stand against them at all. Many times in the name of Christian love and we try to pretend, oh, we're just turning the other cheek. Lord, the truth is we don't do anything because we're cowards. Give us courage to be warriors for Jesus. Help us to preach the truth, Lord, with conviction, but help us to also do it in love. Father, show us the way to be both loving but not compromising. Help us to stand strong. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again. God bless you, folks. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.